Part 6. Infrastructure. Spending on transportation and communications networks from general revenues rather than from taxes and user fees allows big business to externalize its cost on the public and conceal its true operating expenses. Chomsky described this state capitalist underwriting of shipping costs quite accurately. Quote, "One well-known fact about trade is that it's highly subsidized with huge market-distorting factors. The most obvious is that every form of transport is highly subsidized. Since trade naturally requires transport, the costs of transport enter into the calculation of the efficiency of trade. But there are huge subsidies to reduce the cost of transport through manipulation of energy costs and all sorts of market-distorting functions. Every wave of concentration of capital has followed a publicly subsidized infrastructure system of some sort. The National Railroad system, built largely on free or below-cost land donated by the government, was followed by concentration in heavy industry, petrochemicals, and finance. The next major infrastructure projects were the National Highway system, starting with the system of designated national highways in the 1920s and culminating with Eisenhower's interstate system, and the civil aviation system, built almost entirely with federal money. The result was massive concentration in retail, agriculture, and food processing. The third such project was the infrastructure of the World Wide Web, originally built by the Pentagon. It permits, for the first time, direction of global operations in real time from a single corporate headquarters, and is accelerating the concentration of capital on a global scale. To quote Chomsky again, "The telecommunications revolution is another state component of the international economy that didn't develop through private capital, but through the public paying to destroy themselves." The centralized corporate economy depends for its existence on a shipping price system which is artificially distorted by government intervention. To fully grasp how dependent the corporate economy is on socializing transportation and communications costs, imagine what would happen if truck and aircraft fuel were taxed enough to pay the full cost of maintenance and new building costs on highways and airports, and if fossil fuels depletion allowances were removed. The result would be a massive increase in shipping costs. Does anyone seriously believe that Walmart could continue to undersell local retailers, or corporate agribusiness could destroy the family farm? Intellectually honest right libertarians freely admit as much. For example, Tibor Machen wrote in The Freeman that some people will say that stringent protection of rights against eminent domain would lead to small airports at best and many constraints on construction. Of course, but what's so wrong with that? Perhaps the worst thing about modern industrial life has been the power of political authorities to grant special privileges to some enterprises to violate the rights of third parties whose permission would be too expensive to obtain. The need to obtain that permission would indeed seriously impede what most environmentalists see as rampant, indeed reckless, industrialization. The system of private property rights, in which all kinds of human activity must be conducted within one's own realm except where cooperation from others has been gained voluntarily, is the greatest moderator of human aspirations. In short, people may reach goals they aren't able to reach with their own resources only by convincing others, through arguments and fair exchanges, to cooperate. The logjams and bottlenecks in the transportation system are an inevitable result of subsidies. Those who debate the reason for planes stacked up at O'Hare Airport, or decry the fact that highways and bridges are deteriorating several times faster than repairs are being budgeted, need only read an Economics 101 text. Market prices are signals that relate supply to demand. When subsidies distort these signals, the consumer does not perceive the real cost of producing the goods he consumes. The feedback loop is broken, and demands on the system overwhelm it beyond its ability to respond. When people don't have to pay the real cost of something they consume, they aren't very careful about only using what they need. It is interesting that every major antitrust action in this century has involved either some basic energy resource or some form of infrastructure on which the overall economy depends. Standard Oil, AT&T, and Microsoft were all cases in which monopoly price gouging was a danger to the economy as a whole. This brings to mind Engels' observation that advanced capitalism would reach a stage where the state, the official representative of capitalist society, would have to convert the great institutions for intercourse and communication into state property. Engels did not foresee the use of antitrust actions to achieve the same end.